thank you for listening.
And I want to talk about that connection of your music with Black women everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can go back to like Ma Rainey and Bessie Smith. You know, my mom loves Mary J. Blige because she was giving the voice of the experiences that her and her friends were going through. And yeah, that's the purpose that you serve. I want to know how it feels to really sit in that legacy of amazing R&B songwriters and performers.
I'm just honored and very proud of using my gift to give space for Black women. You know, our stories are often muted. And I'm just so happy that I'm in a place where I can tell our stories and be that voice. And I don't take it lightly. I love Black women and I want us uplifted on all platforms like we deserve. And I'm glad that I can be able to do that.
And sisterhood is a big thing in hotels. It yes. is the story. Yes. It is the moment. It is why we are here.
Yes.
And in an interview, you mentioned that for some of the stories, for the women that you really tapped into their voices, you asked them to go to a place. Yeah. And just let loose.
Definitely.
And what was your process like of going to that place and letting loose so we could get your stories on hotels?
Just being open and being honest, which I am normally, but I do kind of reserve spaces just for myself. But for hotels, I thought it was important to dig a little deeper. And, you know, I just want to continue to do that. Just continue to go deeper within myself and discover new things about myself and open myself up to say the hard things and receive, which is what I've been getting, is receive love and advice and everything else that you do when you actually open yourself up and tell your story.
Thank you.
One-to-One on WRCT Pittsburgh. Online. Worldwide. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online.
Why all this?
to 1 on WRCT Pittsburgh. Online. Worldwide. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online. Worldwide. Online. We'll be right back.
the sky and the moon. I don't follow time, I follow waves of the ocean of my womb.
Do you follow?
What?
When I flip off?
What?
I do my thing, I do my way, now can you? you dig it? Hey, pretty. Oh, you really want my thunder? I gotta get here. Got the secrets while you wonder. Hey, pretty. Oh, you really want my thunder? I gotta get here. Got the secrets while you wonder.
Woman is the best.
She's a woman.
African civilization in its potential magnitude must be able to command fortitude, patience, tolerance, and diligence to sustain us all in our task to depend on the women of Africa. Words of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I.
Reach the eye.
So, if you're outside of our coverage area, remember, you can listen to WRCT online. Live streaming available at www.wrct.org. WRCT Pittsburgh. You have no excuse not to listen.
Thank you.
I gotta unpack some things. So the bells.
Okay.
You wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
They are there.
Yeah.
What does that bring to your life to put those on in the morning?
Just so much joy. Just the music. And I listen to a playlist with wind chimes, you know, in the morning. It just makes me feel comfortable. I think I was told that I should surround myself with things. Let me take these teeth out, because I'm... But first, did everybody see it already?
Yeah. Well... Look closer. Come closer. Okay. Now, tell me, What are they?
Those okay, are... these are pearls. They're pearls. Freshwater pearls. Freshwater pearls and Kyrie shells. Yeah.
It gives a different meaning to Prince's song, If I Gave You Diamonds and Pearls.
That's it? I thought of that when I did it. My friend from Royal Teeth Lab made them in Atlanta. So anything we can think of. But my bells, you know, when I put them on, it makes me feel good. I was told that I should surround myself with things that make me feel good all the time. All the time. Yeah. So
it's interesting that, so that's a studio slash bedroom, and I thought of all the rooms that she would take us in. A lot has been said about your bedroom, the mystical powers. Yes. You came out with the...
It's the urban legend.
The urban... Thank you. I was like, I'm going to let her say it. The urban legend that you've written about in song. You came out with the candle, with incense that was symbolic of your vajay.
Yeah,
it's true. Sold out.
It sold out quick.
It sold out. And so there we are in your bedroom. You are a keenly aware of the urban legend that men can't look you in the eye without falling in love.
That's why I try to wear, you know, hat. Because I don't know what's happening. I just,
But how does that affect, because are you single now?
I am.
Okay. So how does it affect, you know, when a man knows, I'm going to look at her and I'm never going to be able to forget her?
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure.
Women, too.
Yeah. Oh.
And children and animals.
So think any breathing thing.
Any living, breathing thing.
I mean, it's a powerful... How do you describe it?
What, my power?
Yeah.
I think it's indescribable. And the bedroom, that's not where you're going to find it, because my magic doesn't lie between my thighs. It lies between my ears.
Which is, you know, we were talking about the fashion of it all. I mean, the reality is, even when you came on the scene with your head wrap, and I think Questlove said it was so tall, he thought it was a toddler inside. It was so tall.
But I can't stand Questlove.
Which brings me to, by the way, he probably owes you the biggest apology. He was one of the ones who said when you came out that they weren't ready and that he didn't think the quote-unquote sound and neo-soul would hit. Did he ever apologize for getting it so wrong?
No, he didn't have to, because he doesn't have to always get it right. He gets most of the things right.
He gets most right. He's a friend of both of ours. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people weren't ready for it. And then at the height of your career, you became a mom.
Yes.
Seven is now 25.
25. Yeah.
Puma is 18.
Puma's 18.
Mars is 14.
Mars is 14.
Look at the... One child gets more beautiful than the next.
Yes.
And then they all look like you, but their father... It's incredible.
Yeah.
When you think about Seven, though, his birth especially.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people said, this is the height of your career.
Yeah.
And you're about to become a mom.
Yeah. My album came out February 11th, 1997. I got pregnant March 1997. And my second album came out November 18th, same year, 1997. And that's the day Seven was born. Wow. So it just... happened to be that way.
But here he was coming into this world.
Yeah.
But the world was pressuring the person who was bringing him in.
Yeah.
That it wasn't going to work, that you could not be successful. Your friend Maxwell also said, very few people could have beat those odds.
Lauryn Hill did it right before me.
Still very few people.
Yeah, very few. But, I mean, it's a natural thing. I don't know this life with, you know, of being an entertainer without being a mother. Mm-hmm. It's all one thing because I was pregnant immediately after the first album.
Was there ever a time of uncertainty? Now looking back, you're 51?
I'm 51.
51. <laughs> You do know now everybody's going to run out and try to get an infrared sauna, because if everybody could look
like
this,
everyone should
get an infrared sauna.
Everyone should. The benefits are amazing. I mean, the heat is going to go inside of the body and purify you and help drain the toxins and give you the energy that you need. And I think you can get one on Amazon for under $1,200, and they have payment plans and everything. Infrared sauna.
Okay, we're gonna have to market that. But you've talked about motherhood being natural to you.
Yeah.
How does this then lead into being a doula? As it's a Summer Walker, Tiana Taylor, those are the famous names.
Yeah.
But 50 plus babies, you've been there to bring.
I've been in the present. Yeah. Thank you. I really enjoy being the welcoming committee. You know, it's a beautiful thing. You know. I had to study for it for a while because I was an entertainer, so I had to spread out my studies. And when in 2001, I caught my first baby, I wasn't a doula at that time. I was just a friend helping. And that's when I realized, hey, I can do this. This is something I can do.
But why did you want to? Because you can do a lot of things. You want
the contract is more with the babies, the children who are coming through. I'm also a death doula.
I know.
So that's for the souls going out. So I sit at the bedside. I make sure the space is prepared. It's one of the most precious rituals and events, coming in and going out.
I want to read this quote that you said. You said, I sit at the bedsides of people who are passing on in hospices or nursing homes for the people and families who want that kind of thing. When people are going on to the next plateau of whatever this thing is called life, I also want them to breathe easily, even if it's the last one that they take here with us. I guess I'm the welcoming committee and the ushering committee.
And the ushering committee, yeah. And I'm honored to be it. Yeah, it's special to me. It's really special. It's an honor to be the hand, to be that vessel who's, you know, there for whatever everyone needs. But, you know, being of service is very important. And I've been so blessed in my life. My cup runneth over with blessings and gifts. It's just a natural thing. I want to give back in that kind of way. I don't charge for my services. It's just, you know, it's all the Creator. You know, it's all.
To catch you when you fall, if I could be swift to change the lanes, if I could be motionless to the pain, if you could be the one to hold me up, if you could be the driver of my chariot, if you could be love's seductive ways, if you could be my love all day, if you could be the messenger for us, if you could be the one that teaches trust.
You're listening to 1-to-1 on WRCT Pittsburgh. Online. Worldwide. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online. Worldwide. Online. Worldwide. Online. Online.
I mean, I keep hearing that there's a movement, but that we haven't reached it yet, but that Black women are the lowest represented in the therapy field as far as clinicians. Is that accurate?
I mean, think about the amount of time it takes a lot of time to get this. And I've never encountered more racists than I did in academia and getting my degree. Like, more, I see more racists in the boardroom than at the bus stop.
No, it's true. I think people don't realize that racism has the uncanny ability to just find its way into any space. It's very flexible. I mean, I keep hearing that there's a movement, but that we haven't reached it yet, but that Black women are the lowest represented in the therapy field as far as clinicians. Is that accurate?
I mean, think about the amount of time it takes. It takes a lot of time to get this. And I've never encountered more racists than I did in academia and getting my degree. Like, more, I see more racists in the boardroom than at the bus stop.
No, it's true. I think people don't realize that racism has the uncanny ability to just find its way into any space. It's very flexible.
Hey, y'all, what's up? It's Friday, so I'm gonna keep it Black. But I'm going to keep it brief. This is an open letter to the current Senate minority of the United States. Commonly referred to as the GOP, the good old boys, this is a direct plea to the Republican officials who currently make up United States Senate. Hello? Because I'm tired of preaching to the choir. I'm talking to people who apparently have no say in the matter, which is crazy to me, because the founding fathers you clung to a social contract theory that asserts that it is the people that give power to the government, and that the government in turn is required to give protection. This social media platform, designed to inform and empower Black communities through a lens of pop culture, somehow has to talk about you and your work friends damn near every week, because somehow y'all found new ways to endanger people every week. Gun violence has become a public health crisis, as you, the GOP, have quite frankly facilitated the normalization of gun violence as a leading cause of death of children here on American soil. Insanity. On Monday, March 27th, the 130th mass shooting to happen this year in America alone occurred in Nashville, Tennessee, after legally purchasing several firearms. 28-year-old Audrey Hale shot through the front door of his former academy, the Covenant School. So let's talk about mass shootings. I feel like we've done this before. In 2022, there were 647 mass shootings in America, and this year we are already on track to outdo that number if you don't do something. This most recent shooting has definitely shaken up the city of Nashville, as rich white families who sent their children to a small private Christian academy spanning pre-K to sixth grade were exposed to this kind of violence. Hale entered the school armed with three guns, an AR-15, a Kel-Tec sub-300, and a handgun, promptly ending the lives of three children and three adults before being fatally shot by police 14 minutes later. And I'd like to take a moment to commend the police in Nashville for learning from the Uvalde shooting last year and acting quickly. They were called, children were evacuated, and the shooter was neutralized within minutes. Praise God. However, simply training rapid response teams and formalizing evacuation plans and response protocol is not the solution. And you and I both know if the goal is to make America safer for its citizens, then the answer travels on a two-way street. Parents cannot rely on the relief that their children's schools have evacuation plans. This actually reinforces a victim-blaming ecosystem that places responsibility on communities to save themselves. American exceptionalism is crazy. These things need to be done in addition to gun reform. But you already knew that. Y'all want to put more money in policing so bad. At this point, use it to increase police presence at metal detectors and not only just schools, but at concerts, in grocery stores, in movie theaters, on college campuses, hell. Let the boys in blue scratch that excessive force itch on somebody with an assault rifle. That's after taking the steps of actually strengthening gun laws, placing restrictions on gun ownership, and denying citizens access to assault weapons altogether. And pro-gunners are really pissing me off. Y'all keep saying guns don't kill people, people kill people. But if we already knew that, then why are guns still so accessible to the people in question? Contrary to popular belief, universal background checks are not a thing. People with a history of domestic violence do not get their guns taken away. As a matter of fact, to get a gun in Tennessee, you don't have to pass a background check at all. You don't even need a permit to carry. You don't even have to be 18 years old. You can be convicted of stalking, assault, or other violent offenses and still purchase a firearm freely. And despite having the 10th highest rate of gun deaths in the country, Tennessee lawmakers are looking to relax gun laws even further. There are no secure storage or child access prevention laws in place. Guns are allowed in K-12 schools, college campuses, and bars. There are no restrictions on assault-style weapons meant for military use, which is why Audrey Hale was able to walk into the Covenant School with one in the first place. And speaking of Audrey, we found out that Audrey was a trans man with he-him pronouns, and Marjorie Taylor Greene had the audacity to say, well, we can stop blaming guns. Bitch, what? She and the rest of the GOP are using this incident to propagandize all the recent anti-trans legislation, suggesting that trans people in general are endangering children. But this is so irresponsible and shows a great deal of ineptitude on your part to make generalizing statements like this about trans people.
Oh, but you guys make totalizing statements.